This is Marketplace. I'm Kai Ryssdal. For all the attention the big Wall Street banks get, there are broad chunks of this economy for which traditional banking services might as well not exist. New immigrants are among those groups. They often arrive without American credit or an employment history. So for hundreds of years, immigrant communities in this country have turned to what are called lending clubs to get capital. The idea is simple. Everybody puts money in a pot, and then that pot is paid out to individuals on a rotating basis. But as Marketplace's Ryan Kailath explains, the clubs are not without some risk.
When Chinese immigrants in Brooklyn's Sunset Park are burned by lending clubs, they come to see John Chan.
Hey, looking for John Chan?
No, police.
Chan's office is on the third floor of Golden Imperial Palace, a giant dim sum hall he owns. Chan's a respected leader in the community, president of the nonprofit Asian American Communities Empowerment. His office walls are covered with framed photos, Chan with different VIPs. The two Clintons, the two Bushes, a third Bush whose name he can't quite remember. Jeb, I think they call him. Chan acknowledges that lending clubs cause problems even he can't solve, despite his sway with local politicians and law enforcement. But the clubs have also transformed his neighborhood. Since Chan got to Brooklyn in the early 2000s, the Asian population has nearly doubled. They're now the fastest-growing group in the borough. We walk over with the translator to 8th Avenue, a mile-long stretch of Chinese-owned businesses.
10 years ago, this street, no one even, like, walked down it. And now, if you want to get some real estate here, you can't even forget about it.
There are pool halls, karaoke joints, hot pot restaurants. Under construction is a 20,000-square-foot hotel. Chan says probably 70% of these businesses were capitalized via lending clubs. Not technically illegal, these clubs are essentially informal banks. Everyone throws money into a pot with one person, the banker, if you will, in charge. The banker then lends out the pot to different members on a rotating basis, with varying interest rates based on how much money you need and how soon you need it. Ron Kim is a state assemblyman who represents another big Chinatown in Flushing, Queens. He says his neighborhood would look completely different without lending club money.
It's mind-boggling when there's $2-3 million condos that's been sold, you know, but these apartments are being sold all in cash with no mortgages.
Easy access to big piles of cash is exactly what makes lending clubs so attractive and so dangerous, says Democratic Congresswoman Nidia Velasquez, who represents Sunset Park and other New York neighborhoods.
There is not a formal contract. There is no oversight. There is no guarantee that a person will not disappear with the money or that some of the borrowers will be able to pay back the money that was lent to them.
Both of those things happened in Velasquez's district recently. In one case, the organizer of the club, the banker, ran off with $2 million. In another case, some participants stopped making their payments, which brought the $20 million club crashing down. Velasquez has been holding financial literacy events across her district to educate recent immigrants about their consumer rights and encourage them to use microlenders or traditional banks. But Ivan Light, a professor emeritus at UCLA who's studied lending clubs for decades, says this misses the point.
If you're a foreign-born person, you don't have a credit history in this country, you don't have a high income, you have no assets, how are you going to get a loan from a bank?
Light says such clubs have existed across cultures for hundreds of years, and they're not going away anytime soon. In Mexico, they're called tandas. In China, biahui. In India, chit funds. This makes lending clubs older than the U.S. banking system itself. In Brooklyn, I'm Ryan Kailath for Marketplace.